Gewalt. Shem Kol Yisrael. Rabbeinu HaKodesh Arav Kook. Kach haya mechaneh oto Rabbi Shlomo. Rabbi Shlomo would call Rav Kook, our holy Rebbe, Rav Kook. Zeicher tzadik levrocha. Bechol pam shezkir oto. Omar divrei Torah b'shmo. Anytime he would mention his name, Rav Shlomo would say, our holy Rebbe, Rav Kook. Rav Shlomo was zeicher tzadik levrocha. Tiyaret Rav Kook. Zeicher tzadik levrocha. Kenavi. Shlomo understood Rav Kook to be the prophet who understood the nature of the generation. He was Rav Avram, he was the one who could see. He saw the needs of the generation, and Rav Shlomo understood him to be the prophet of the generation. People don't always realize how close of a kesher Rav Kook, Rav Shlomo had to Rav Kook, the very strong kesher. Rav Shlomo didn't write too much about, you know, a whole parish on a commentary. As far as I know, it's only really Rav Kook. You know, even maybe a little Rabbi Nachman Ishbis and Rav Kook were the rabbis of Rav Shlomo. Bli liftoa koach chas v'shalom echodem shal tzadikim, aval ein tzadik shayela mamash damidot shal Avram Avinu, k'mo Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rav Kook. Sham. Boy, why would you want to go to the burn house? The Churva to the Bayit Tzaruch. We got to change the names here. In any case, so Rav Shlomo used to call, say there was no one who had the midos like of Avram Avinu, like of Avram Yisrael HaKohen Kook. Mamash, you read his sefer about that Simcha Raz put out. He's mamash, like just unbelievable midos, unbelievable Kohen Kochan, unbelievable, just like so inspiring. So. That's what Rav Shlomo said. Ein tzadik v'kadosh ba'olam shemedaber al avet Yisrael k'mo Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rav Kook. There's no one who speaks about avet Yisrael like Rav Kook. Gam ein tzadik ba'olam shomer shemitoch avet Yisrael ba'im le'evet kol ha'olam kolo. And there's no one who speaks so often. Shulam. Right here. Are you going something? No problem. And there's no one who speaks about loving the nation as much as Rav Kook. Actually, and most of Shabbos it was with Kook's yard site. So, you know, there's anyway a minog to learn about tzaddikim on Motzei Shabbos. You're supposed to set the table by Milav Malka and learn gadol stories, which is actually what Rav Kook says. Rav Kook says talking about gadolim purifies your soul. So I opened up, I couldn't find my biography, so I opened up Rav Kook, actually his son's teachings. And of course the first teaching was about loving the nations. Now we have to love the nations. And really, you only find this by Rav Shlomo and by Rav Kook. They would so often talk about our obligation to love the nation, to show our love, that true love spreads. Kol ma'utam shosnei tzadikim alalo. The whole essence of these two tzadikim, Rav Kook and Rav Shlomo, hayta avet Yisrael, the tshuva. Just love and tshuva. That's all that they were about. Shneim avu kol yudim mesiris nefesh. Both of them loved every Jew to the ends of their world. Like mamish, didn't matter. Didn't matter what the situation. Even if they were the enemies of Rav Kook, so to speak, he would love them with all his heart. So many stories like that. And both of them loved the whole world. Of course, they go together, right? If you love the whole one, you love the Israel. But you don't love the whole world, so Rav Shlomo says, and you have gam in your love. Real love is universal. You have to have a special type of love for Avos Yisrael, but it's not true love if it stops. It says, I love them, but I hate them. Then there's something missing. It's a broken type of love. However, by the way, at any point you have any questions, thoughts, comments, I'll break, but it's not meant to be a monologue. Bezrat Hashem, we're learning together.
As Rav Kook fortify a heart, you know, when it's not as easy, sometimes it's just putting on rose glasses and just like looking at everybody with love. One can do that, and more often than not, is hit by resistance.
Correct.
And Gandhi's like teachings of, you know, just keep being as passive but as effective as possible. That's sweet, but I mean, we see obviously that it worked for him with millions of people behind him, but for us single individuals, sometimes we're met with a lot of resistance. Someone that might not be into the whole love, just love, just love.
Correct.
So how does one keep themselves strong?
How does one orient themselves towards that? Excellent question. It's deserving in a whole series of Shirin. I'm not going to say that I have the answer to that question, but I can offer some advice. We can brainstorm together. One piece of advice is given by the Bala Tanya in, I think, maybe the 31st chapter of Tanya. And he talks about, maybe 32nd, maybe. He talks about if you view a person as a body, then it's very easy to get stuck in anger or upset. But if you view them as a soul, as a chelek alakim imal, you truly constantly remind yourself that we're all souls, so it's very hard to really hate that person. So it's kind of about an orientation of training your brain to view others as a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as a soul. You know, like Rishlomo, it wasn't a coincidence he was calling everyone a holy brother. Because what he's saying is, we're all souls. And our soul, we're soul brothers. So I think it's about training your mind to look at the world in that way. Obviously, there's some people like Rav Kook, like Rav Shlomo, who are, you know, were born with this love. And they have a family of love. But some people certainly have an advantage at it. There's no question. It comes more easily for some people than others. But I do think, like Simcha, Ava too is something that can be learned, but yet needs constant, like, chizuk and reiteration and to talk about it, the chashivas of Ava and the chiyuv of Ava, you know, recognizing that that's our obligation to view the world with loving eyes, can help us in that struggle. It's okay to struggle, especially if someone did something wrong to you. So it's not always easy, but that's the goal. It's the orientation. After the echakamadai, that suggestion makes sense. I think the more we learn about it, the more we talk about it, the more we have models, living models, the better chance we have to do it on a day-to-day. You know? Okay. Gevalt. The Freshel door. Although the two were separated by a generation, Arav Kook v'gamar Arav Karli b'achayu enayim v'neshama l'kol Am Yisrael. They were the hearts and the eyes and the hearts of all of Am Yisrael. They were like the soul of Israel. Like, where would any of us be without Rav Kook and his understanding of the world? And where would any of us be, you know, singing? What would Friday night davening look like without Rav Shlomo? Like, where would we be? The Imamish understood the needs of the generation and saved the generation. Rav Kook, I'll give you an example of this for Rav Kook. So, people don't realize, but there was a big gap between the religious people and the secular people, and it was almost unbridgeable. There was almost a war going on. There's only one person that could bring the two together and have them reach some sort of agreement. Of course, that was Rav Kook. So in the Heter Mechira, where it was allowed to work the Shemitah year, almost no one could have like made that deal in such a way that the secular people would agree to it and the religious people would agree to it, except for Rav Kook. He was the only person that both the religious people and the secular people respected, and he was completely criticized by both sides. But he sacrificed himself for the sake of, he thought that was what was necessary for Am Yisrael. That's just one example of, like, without him, who knows if the yeshuv could have flourished.
Definitely not as, like, connected to religion. Maybe right. We'd be growing all of our vegetables in on an island or in Jordan or something.
Right, exactly.
Just to be kosher.
Right, to live in the modern state of Israel, which is such an interesting blend of, you know, Masorati and religious, and it's mamish because of Rav Kook and Shlomo. They had, you know, it's more than just the books and the individuals they touch. They changed the world. They changed the world with their orientation towards life. You know, I always say that, like, if I had $1 million, $1 billion, and I was a rich person, I'd first of all buy holy brother. I buy any angel amongst men. I give it to every person in the world, not just Jews. I'd give a copy and make it mandatory reading, because it's just like reading about them just changes you. It's like, wow, there were people like that in the world. With so much love and so much realness, and yet so connected to our world. You know, maybe Shlomo a little bit more connected, you know, but Shlomo was such an angel. It's almost hard to fathom. But, you know, they're both geniuses, like ridiculous geniuses. Super minds and super souls. And yet so like seeming like loving and approachable and down to earth. Like Shlomo a little bit more down.
It's a tough combo.
Yeah. Yeah. And Shreina, and they both had their struggles in life. It wasn't like, you know, everything always went smooth for either of them. But anyway, so it's a big schus to kind of be bridging those worlds, putting those worlds together, learning Rav Kook, learning this is the first sefer I ever learned of Rav Kook, and learning Rav Shlomo's commentary on Rav Kook. It's like mind blowing. Yeah. So what a schus! Thank God. Welcome. Oh, perfect timing of Jeremy. We're just giving a little bit of an introduction to who is Rav Kook, who is Rav Shlomo. And why we're bringing them together. We didn't even start, we're just about to start right now. So good timing. Good. And the basic thing that bridges them together in one word is...
Oh, sorry, you don't wear a mask?
I do, it's just sometimes hard when I'm talking.
Okay.
But take a little space, it's good.
Okay.
I think the basic thing is Ava, is love. Sum up in one word, what's Rav Shlomo's philosophy, what's Rav Kook's philosophy, and what bridges them together, Ava and Tshuva. So, Bezrat Hashem. Give up. We're going to start. And I'm not going to read the whole Rav Kook inside because it's very floaty. Let's start. Hey, David. Show them. Hi, girls. That's miracle baby. A lot of us have been davened. For that guy. We're just about to start Rav Kook for Shlomo's commentary on Rav Kook. Amazing timing. And then David comes down to the world. It's probably got the neshama of Rav Kook. Eh? Could be. It's a sign from a good breath. Is out the seven. See, I'll see you there.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. Alright. That's my best friend David. We've been learning together since high school, with Bruce.
Wow.
Back in the river together. Actually set him up with his wife, so I feel like those are my kids. Hashem. Okay. So a little intro from Rav Shlomo, now that I introduced Rav Shlomo and Rav Kook. Rabbatai, kol kach harbe svarim nechtevu al tshuva. Rebbes, so many books have been written about tshuva. Shari tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, Migranda. Svarim yafim v'chashuvim, very important books. Aval Rav Kook aya adam ben dorenu. The difference is, you gotta go to the Rebbe of your generation. So we go to Rav Kook because he was in our generation. We go to Shlomo because he was in our generation. And he spoke to us and he understood our individual needs and what our spiritual vitamins need to be in our generation. Okay? Ish lo evin kamo makor ayom. Nobody understood what the tikkun of the generation was until him. Harav Tzvi Yehuda HaKohen Kook, bno shel Rav Avraham ben Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, haya mamash kodesh kodeshim, lo haya rak anav ela harbe yoter mizeh, hu haya mamash kilu lo kayam. Hu yashev al kisa avi b'Yerushalayim, ir kodesh kodesh yeshivat merkaz harav. Pam hu amar l'shomoreh v'ikarem shel aviv, haya Rabbi Nachman mibreslev, v'itz Torat Izvitzeh. This is interesting to say. Rav Kook's son said that his father's main Torah that he drew from were Rabbi Nachman, Izbitzer, Benosaf Torah Chabad, and Chabad Torahs. Shekibel Mevet Torah that he got from his father's house. So, in other words, it's really interesting. He's giving us a little understanding. He's not making this stuff. Sometimes you read Rav Kook, he doesn't really quote his sources. You might think that he's just flowing from nowhere. Rav Shlomo is saying, no, he's getting it from Binachman, he's getting it from Izbitz, He's getting it from Chabad. He's putting it in his own unique way for our generation, but very similar to Rav Shlomo. He's drawing from all the Rebbe's of previous generations and then repackaging it for our generation. Okay? One last word of introduction that Rav Shlomo gave. Rabotai, ani rotzeh shetedu. Rebbe's, I want you to know. Kol mila u'mila shekotav Rav Kook nogat v'yesodot amukim v'yoter shel Kabbalah midrash v'tuvim Talmud. Every word that Rav Kook says is teaching the deepest depth of Gemara, Kabbalah, Midrash. And it's just a do amak kokach mimchad b'torat of Rav Kook. Acharei Rav Kook lamad kol sefer nechtav al inyan atshuva, kol sefer musar, kol sefer chasidi, v'kol shar esfarim amitzuyim ba'olam al atshuva, who seek et ikarei advarim et atamtzit mikol achad v'achad mem v'niach lefanein. So it isn't just coming out of nowhere. He learned every book that was out there on tshuva that's ever been written, and then he kind of repackages it for our generation. Says Rosh Hashanah. Aleinu lafnim lachrot amok libenu. We have to put mamish deep in our hearts. Kol milasha revenu akadosh Rav Kook. Every word from our holy rabbi Rav Kook. Be'orot ha-tshuva. In our ha-tshuva. And I bless you that we should learn this all year round. The custom is to start learning it in Elul, but really it's an all year round at the Sefer. And without further ado, we will begin Bezat Hashem, Orot Rav Kook, Bishifa, to finish it maybe Bezat Hashem by Rosh Hashanah, by Yom Kippur at least. Bezat Hashem, we're going to keep learning in this virtual based mentors without doors. Rabbeinu's teacher. Sounds good? Ready? Our hearts are open. Souls open. Let's do it. At the tshuva, anu motzim b'shlasha menachot. There are three different pathways to tshuva. Tshuva tivit. Natural tshuva. Hatshuva rishana hi liyot shuv normali. In Rosh Shlomo's words, the first step in tshuva is to be normal again. We got to be normal. Kimo shekadosh baruch hu ritzeh she'niyeh. Just like Hashem wants us to be. Hashem wants us to be normal. So the first step in tshuva is to be normal. Define what's normal. Okay, but that's what Shlomo says. Tshuva emunit, the second step, he tshuva shemegia berega shani mamash ma'amin b'chol libi v'nafshi, is tshuva that comes at a moment that I mamish, my whole heart and soul is connected. It's like a spontaneous feeling. Tshuva sichlit, intellectual tshuva, when I see a tshuva imarosh shali, then the third stage of tshuva is when I get down to the nitty gritty and I write down intellectually how is this going to translate into my day to day actions. The certain level is even on a higher level than the previous tshuvas. Okay? It's really interesting what he's saying here. Many different levels of tshuvas. Naturally, if I asked you, Shlomo, what does it mean to you when you hear the word tshuva? What comes to your brain? What comes to mind?
Repentance.
Repent. Okay. The end is near. Something like that. Good. What else? Any other thoughts, feelings?
Returning. Coming back to it.
Okay. Very good. Going back to your source. Excellent.
Harmony. Feeling and sound. All's good.
A feeling of being aligned. Harmonious. When your beliefs and your actions are aligned, perhaps. Excellent. Okay, beautiful. So, what better place to be than here in the old city to go back to our roots? Shlomo used to say that the tshuva movement really started at the Kotel. So that's where it all began in 1967. That's really when people, the world started doing tshuva again. So to be so close to the Kotel.
Did you say 1967?
He says when we got in the Six-Day War, when we got the Kotel back, that's really when people started doing tshuva. And Shlomo used to say it's in the schus of the Kotel. But this is a place where our hearts are more open to mamash returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another reason, thank God, where it's easier for a lot of people to learn in Rechavi and Nachlot, but I feel like especially for tshuva, this is where it's at. This is a place that our heart, where the energy wave is just like, it's much easier to tap into that. Hi. so beautiful. Bezrat Hashem. Ma kore ledor shelanu? Madu anashim korabim enam shavim liyadut? Mishum, why is it that people aren't returning to Judaism? Mishum shehem choshevim. Sheim osim tshuva, hofchim lelo normalim. Because they think that if we do tshuva, we're not normal. That's what happens. A lot of people, you know, they think to be normal is the normal secular life. And to be religious is weird. Like for the weirdos out there. That's out of our little bubble. That's how people, that's where a lot of people are at. They think that to be a Jew puts on tefillin, it's like a weirdo. Those Chabadnikim, weirdos. Right? Keep Shabbos and not be on your iPhone, that's weird. Every day I wake up and I have pig and eggs, ham and eggs. And every Friday night I go with my chevra to a trip. I drive there. Certainly on Yom Kippur Shabbat we go out to eat. And now the change, lo be miksat at orech hayai, the way of my life, harini kvar lo normali, I'm not normal. Ki shiniti mechayei regilim, anormalim, because I've changed from my normal life to be something different. Olam Hashem. And this is always, of course, Rav Shlomo's derech. He talks on a religious level and he's going to make it more interpersonal. Ani mo'od ohev l'argish et haruach noshevet b'sarati. I love to hear the wind blowing through my hair, right? And suddenly I have to wear a kippah, right? If anyone didn't wear a kippah their whole life, they know for the first little bit, it's like, it doesn't feel normal, it feels weird, right? It's not normal to be wearing this thing on my head. The world thinks that to do chozer b'tshuvah is to lose my uniqueness. Ala pnimiyas shalahem, on the insides, v'lafoch lelo normalim, to be a weirdo. No, I have to be, do what Hashem says, but I don't really want to, you know, I wish I could be normal. Hem meshuchnaim shezeu ha-yadu, they're sure that that's Judaism. As ma'u tshuva be'emet, so what's tshuva? Tshuva perisha, leshuv liyot normali. So it's essentially what Jeremy was saying. He's just throwing an extra word in there. To return to be normal. And it's important for Rav Shlomo to stress that, because it's that extra word is just reminding me that the essence of a Jew is my soul. And that's normal. It's normal for me to wake up and daven shachris, mincha, marav. It's normal for me to go to a mikvah on every Shabbat. It's normal for me to say a bracha. It's weird to wake up late. It's not it, Torah is our essence. That's who we truly are. And if we're not living up to our potential, so we're disconnecting ourselves from our truth. And we're all doing that in one way and the other. You know, it could be through Torah mitzvahs. Maybe physically we're unbalanced. So to do tshuva is to return to being your true, normal, regular self. And your true, normal, regular self is a holy soul. A very, very holy soul that wants to be connected to Hashem. We're good so far? Any questions, thoughts? Anyone vehemently disagree with Shlomo so far? We're good? We're happy?
How does one have like a sense for that? It takes some real sense of understanding. Obviously, like you can feel when you have an impure urge, say, as they describe it, a desire that you should probably not act on. It's okay to understand those are part of our psyche. We have these goals this way and that. But that's just like, those are feelings. How do you recognize that you're not somewhere you need to be, as opposed to feeling the current of the wind of your soul? And you feel like I've returned or I have yet to return. Is that something that's experienced?
How do you, let me try to understand your question. You're asking like, how do you know what's the real me? And how do you know what's like the distortion of me? Something like that. That's a very, very good question. And I think every person struggles with this sometimes. You know, I Baruch Hashem, have been having a lot of students in American yeshivas. And sometimes they would come and they would be like, I don't really like davening. I don't really like learning. It's not fun. It's not normal for me. I'd rather be playing video games, like whatever, you know? And I guess, you know, I don't view it as my job to make people unhappy and to tell them, because God said so, do it anyway, you know? What I try to tell them is, listen, you're already here in Israel. You might as well give it a shot. Try to see if maybe there's something deeper, something more beautiful. But the only real way to get there is to do like a detox. And you have to kind of immerse yourself in that spiritual world in order to start feeling it different. Like, in other words, I used to have a lot of sugar in my diet. I would like play frisbee and then I would chuck a whole bottle of this. That was like spring cactus drinks with like 14 added cups of sugar. And I thought that was very normal. I thought it was healthy because, you know, it had like the, it said pear apple, so it must be healthy. And I didn't know. I bechal had no idea that like added sugar was bad for you. And only when I kind of realized how bad it was and cut it out of my diet, did I start realizing, wow, I was not normal. Like, I was eating rugelach and sugar all day, and then this was hurting me, and that was hurting me, and I had pimples, and this and that, and like, I thought I was normal, but I was just so used, my body was just so used to the sugar that it didn't realize that there was a better path. So I think just sometimes you have to force yourself out of your comfort zone, do what the Torah tells you to do, and then once you've done that for a little while and kind of embraced the Torah life, then you can compare and contrast. That makes sense?
It's a beautiful understanding.
But also, you can get used to anything. You
mean, correct.
You know, after a certain period of time of doing something, you'll just feel comfortable with it.
It's true. I think we have to maybe distinguish between comfortable, like, I'm comfortable doing this, versus like, my soul is like on fire, I'm happy, I'm content, this is the true me. You know? Like, I'll tell you, like, it's like the difference between, for me, davening at my 8:30 minyan in Shari Chesed and like davening Nates at the Kotel. Like, I'm comfortable with my 8:30 minyan there. It's nice. I wake up whenever I want. I go to bed whenever I want. It's got nice air conditioning. Everything's nice. It's a nice davening. But like, my soul's not on fire. You know? When I go to the Kotel, I'm like, you know, when I do it right, tired, but I'm on fire. Like, I'm feeling passion. Like, this is the true me. You know? Or like a Carl Bach minute. For me, like, when I'm dancing on fire on Friday night, I'm joyous. This is a true me. You know, when I'm like, just go to a regular thing, I'm comfortable, but I'm not content. I think those might be different. Comfortable versus alive. Alive, energetic, passionate.
That's you're saying, that feeling would indicate if a person being themselves?
Perhaps. I'm just brainstorming aloud with you, but I'm saying I think a Jew fulfilling mitzvahs ideally should be really happy. When you're learning Torah, you should be really happy. When you're davening, you should be really gilu b'rada, gilu. You should be joyous. And if you're not really happy doing it, then maybe you haven't found your natural. You know, we need to find a way to do, because if it's not being done in a happy way, I don't feel like it's a soul wants to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. At least it's the belief of Chassidus and Kabbalah, that it's natural.
But what does that mean? You're saying that, no, I said this, is it? Like, you're saying it's not just by doing mitzvahs, your soul naturally is connecting?
I think your soul is connecting, but I think you have to do it, you have to find your path. It's like Shlomo often talks about how you have your specific mitzvah, which is like the gateway, the portal into the rest of the mitzvahs. You have to find your mitzvah, which you connect to very much, and then like, once you go all in with that, it helps open up all the other mitzvahs very often. Or doing the mitzvah in a particular type of way. It's not just about doing it, it's about my unique way of doing this mitzvah can make it feel more alive for me. I can only speak from personal experience. I don't know. Everybody's got their own tikkunim and neshamot, you know? But, you know, I found that there's some mitzvahs I do, and like, I do it. I don't know. Tzitzis. I like tzitzis. It's nice. It doesn't excite me that much. I don't like feel on fire, you know. But I love teaching Torah. Like, when I'm teaching a shiur, like, I feel exhilarated. I love dancing Kabbalah Shabbat. I don't always love, whatever, I don't know, something. So I have to find the mitzvahs that I really connect to, and I have to do it in a way that really I feel happy with, I feel comfortable with, and I have to search for it. I don't know how we got to that tangent, but some people, like I would tell my students, like, okay, you're davening, but are you doing hitbo to do it? Like, are you talking to Hashem every day? And almost always the answer is no. I don't even know what that is. And then I say, okay, do 10 minutes a day of hitbo to do it. And come back to me. And see if something shifts. And if they take it seriously, almost always something shifts. Or I had a student who didn't even know if he believed in God. But we learned meditative tefillah together. He was actually a Raita, a good friend of mine. He used to play music right here. Make a lot of money. He's a very talented guy. And I taught him this meditative approach to davening. Very slow Shmona Esrei. He loved it. He loved it. He would like daven for like an hour is Amidah. He still didn't really know if he believed in God, but he found his mitzvah. He found his way to connect. So I do think that, you know, we need to be open to experimenting and finding our own unique niche and being true to ourselves. We're like, this is my place. This is my time. Like, I've got to be on the lookout for it, and then like stick with it. This is my safer. Like, whatever it is, you know. Make sense?
Beautiful.
It's a good tangent. A good tangent. It's
something to think about. To chew on.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just giving you fair warning. Before we wrap up today, I'm going to ask everyone to take something practical out of it. So you can already start thinking. So I like to connect it to the real world. So if you're bored by anything I'm saying, start thinking of some practical hachlota, something that you want to try to bring into your life. Okay. But we can go another 20 minutes learning Rav Kook. We're okay? We're happy then? Sababa. Bezat Hashem. Okay, so we're talking about tshuva. Tshuva perisha liot normali. Ki ze lo amor normali. Sheyudi yisab lo Shabbos l'misada tarfatit. It's not normal to drive to a French restaurant on Shabbos. I have to say, it's another reason why it's so special to be in the old city. Here you can be normal. It's normal for me to be outside, not making a big Friday night meal and just like invite people into my meal. All the rest of the world, you can't really do that. Maybe Brooklyn, I don't know, maybe Muncia. But mostly, people think you're nuts and you'll feel weird. In Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, you could just do a big outdoor Shabbos meal and it's cool. Do a shir right here in the middle of the square, you know? And it's normal. Like, Baruch Hashem. This is the place to be normal again. Kvat. So again, people are so far from their panemius, and we sometimes are so far from our panemius that we have forgotten what it means to be normal again. And I think a little Elul is like meant to be a detox, a spiritual detox, where we kind of remember what it's like to be normal again. And we go a little crazy, we learn a lot of Torah, we daven early, we're supposed to really take Elul super seriously to remind ourselves, like, who's the real me? Where's the real me at? Let me ask you. Is it normal for a husband to scream at his wife day and night? Is it normal for a father to hit his children? Shlomo really didn't like it. Of course not. Dad's going to say, I hit my kids every day. You tell me not to hit my kids? You're telling me to be not normal. This is my normal. I'm used to doing this. Obviously, it's not right. But I have ham and cheese every morning. You tell me to stop? That's not normal. It's not true. I want us to be normal. God created the world so that they should be what they are. Tapuach u tapuach, an apple is an apple. Tapuz u tapuz, an orange is an orange. Chen ala, and all onwards. Tach yudi u yudi, and a Jew is a Jew. We have to stop with these artificial sweetenings and artificial sugars, which aren't healthy. And just be who we are. Be a sweet yid. Amish, be our neshama wants us to be. Shuva peyosha, shuva liyot normali. Kamo shekadosh baruch hu bara otcha. Pashut liyot shuva normali. Zeh normali liyudi lishmor Shabbat. It's normal for a Jew to keep Shabbos. Zeh normali liyudi lalomar dvarim ha'elam al-zivoto. It's normal for a Jew to not speak badly about others. Zeh normali liyudi liyot b'simcha. It's normal for a Jew to be happy. This is something also the Alter Rebbe talks about a lot. You know, I finished a little course. It was called the Simcha Seminar. And it's different shticks and tricks and psychology about how to be happy. At the end of the course, I taught this maimer of this Alter Rebbe, which is like totally opposite of the whole course. And he says, you don't have to do anything to be happy. Nothing. Because you are a Jew. And a Jew is a chelik elikim imam. And so that's happy.
Did you see the Alter Rebbe
to? Yeah, the Alter Rebbe. Oh, the Baal HaTanya.
Oh, the Baal HaTanya.
Yeah. And he writes that you're naturally happy. You're breathing, you're happy. Okay, the problem is we're doing external things which are disconnecting us from our essence. But if you don't need anything, you know, you are a happy being. It's normally to be besimcha. Okay? So that's what Shlomo's saying. It's normally to be besimcha. You don't need an excuse. Why are you so happy? Why not? When you give me a reason not to be happy, I'm happy. Why shouldn't I be happy? That's what we should be. Rabbi Nachman, be blessed of a marriage, and Nachman choshim shaliyot ativim zo normali. Rabbi Nachman teaches that people think that it's normal to be sad. Because we look at the world around us, it's true, it's crazy. You look at the news, 90% of the news is sad. This guy blew this guy, that, right? You look at Facebook, you get this, you surround yourself with screens, and the world is a crazy place. Then you open your eyes and you just listen and you look around and like, it's a beautiful world. You know, like sweetness, a lot of beautiful children, there's trees, there's air, there's oxygen, you know? There's so much blessing. Right now I'm studying for my first aid course. So I'm just like, wow, there's so much amazing stuff. Like our heart, our pulmonary, I don't have asthma, I don't have this disease, I don't have that disease, I have that. Thank God I have a million things going right just for me to be in this moment right now, sitting here. Like, I have 3 million things to be happy about. Maybe one little big thing that's bothering me, but I still have 3 billion other things to be happy. So it's crazy that the world is so, that so many people are sad, so many people are depressed.
Well, it depends on what we focus on.
Exactly. It's mamish all dependent on what we're focusing on. And that's why we're orienting ourselves to start thinking about all the blessings and good in my life. People think you have to force yourself to be happy. It's the opposite. God created us in the happiest, to be happy. You don't need anything else. All of us have millions of tons of joy in our heart. That's my Rebbe. He's on a bicycle. It's so funny. Well, I've never seen him. Yeah. We learn every day, but because of Corona, we have to figure out a time. I bother him. Anyways. He's the sweetest tzaddik in the world. Another great thing about Rav Yeager. He's a Ram at Yeshivat HaKotel. He's this huge Talmud Chacham, huge Talmud. Very humble, very humble. We learned Mishnah Berurah together. I have to remake my chavrusha with him. Anyways, so Aovan Jabogad Baruch Hu Barautanu Uadavar Normali Biotevah Olam Liot Besimcha. Oh, the Rambam says we all have thousands of tons of joy. Lo Tzerich Liknota Tavamakol. We don't have to buy it in a makolot. Kam Lo Tzerich Lisiva Lismach. We don't need a reason. The Mashal Shini Noshem Atayachol Lishaloti Lama Tanoshem. Why are you breathing? Of course it's stupid to say, well, I'm breathing for this reason and for that reason. I don't need a reason to breathe. I don't need a reason to be happy. To do tshuva is to go back to who we truly are. And who we truly are is a happy, happy soul. Okay? But now, as we were kind of inching towards, we have a problem. And that is, but what's normal? Okay, like how do we define normal? So hopefully Rosh Hashanah will get us a little bit closer to that. Ma be'etzem perish ha'musag normali. Normali o devar pula shachrei shasiti oto, ani rotze lasuto shuv. Okay, maybe this answers a little bit Zach's question. You asked, how do you know what's normal? So the answer is, if I do something, and I want to do it again and again and again. But not from like an addictive place, but from a place that it feels whole and healthy. If I do something and I just love it, I want to do it again and again, then that's telling me that that's normal. Does a murderer feel like normal after he's murdered? Chad mashmid lo? Of course not. When he's disgusted with himself. You know, he feels so disgusting, right? Or take, and I keep going back to the food examples because it's just easy. You know, you have a crazy, you know, lunch. Steak and ice cream, whatever, and you just keep eating because it was Shabbos afternoon, you had the cholent and this and that. How do you feel afterwards, usually? Sick, disgusting. You don't feel good, right? You don't want to do that again. So that's how you know whether it was normal or not. If after it's all over, you want to go back and do it again, you have a little piece of watermelon, I think, you know, you can, you're all right. But you have, so how do I feel when I look back about what I did, when I reflect on my year? What did I do that, you know, getting a little bit more practical, how to do tshuva. I'm reflecting on my year. What did I do that made me feel amazing about myself? And what did I do that just like, I don't want to go back to that? You need to just sit down and have some yeshiva das and kind of just like tap in like what is, you know, what's my normal? What feels natural and good? It's an excellent way of bringing it down to earth for someone who's giving us here. Shayiti big yeshiva. I'll give you the short version of the story. He was an 18-year-old bacher and he was, you know, learning in Rosh Hashanah's language 27 hours a day. And he sees this guy, a lonely guy, who looks very fancy. And they get into a conversation. Rosh Shlomo's a very friendly guy. And Rosh Shlomo says, oh, you must be pretty happy. He has millions and millions of dollars. And he says, you know what? Every single day, the rich man says, I go home and I cry myself to sleep. And I don't understand what I'm doing in this world. I don't understand. I'm going from house to house. My wife is here. My children are there. I have no connection to anything. And I vow, like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And then I go up and do it again. Rosh Shlomo says he, as a 18-year-old poor yeshiva bacher, would go to bed, learn himself like crazy, and wake up excited to wake up and do it again. So that's, for him, that's to be normal. You're doing something that you want to be doing, you know? So many people are stuck in jobs. And like, you know, they just don't like their job. You know Daniel Greenberg? He's like, he's such a neshama. He's a high-flowing, like, he was doing computer work for like 7 months. He was forcing himself. At a certain point, we were just like, dude, this is just not you. Like, you need to be playing on the street some guitar and like, find a different way. Like, life is too short to be wasting time on doing stuff that you don't enjoy doing, if you don't have to. Of course, there's exceptional situations where you have no choice. And of course, I believe that sometimes when it comes to Torah, there's an adjustment period where you have to, you know, go from your secular perspective to the religious. So there's you need to try it out. You know, jump into the swimming pool. But ultimately, the goal is to be doing what we love doing and to find a way to make Torah and mitzvahs enjoyable and natural and true to who we are. An apple is an apple, a moon is a moon, and a Jew is a Jew. And that's what it means to do tshuva in the words of Rav Shlomo. We're good so far? Okay, I'm gonna pause here. The next section is gonna talk about the Torah and the laws of Torah and how violating the laws of Torah is like disconnecting your body from itself. Very beautiful piece. I'm gonna save it for next teaching. Because I want to end off with one final Rosh Shlomo teaching, which I think is very practical for Rosh Chodesh Elul. Start off Rosh Chodesh Elul. I'm going to do it real fast from this beautiful Sefer Lev HaShamayim, which is translated the Pesach one. And we gotta spend 5-10 minutes on this very beautiful piece of advice for Shlomo gives us. Katuv b'Sefer Yetzirah. It's written in the book of Sefer Yetzirah, written by Avraham Avinu, the Kabbalah. Shelekol chodesh yesh ot miuchedet. Every month has a special letter, kabbalistically. Va'ot shel chodesh hazeh. Does anyone know what's the letter of chodesh Elul? Is Yud. Yud. Va'mazel shel chodesh hazeh u'betula. It's Virgo. The energy is betula. According to the Sefer Yetzirah, talks about how each month has a particular letter which symbolizes, which is the energy, which represents. It has a tribe. It has a body part. It's all Kabbalah, but he's going to try to make it down to earth. So there's different energies. Also, you know, astrologically speaking, this is true. So too, kabbalistically, Seder. We're gonna translate it into something practical. אתם מבינים מה זה אומר? You know what this means? זה אומר שהחודש הזה נוגע במשהו הפנימי הזה שבתוכנו היוד שהוא נעול וחתום. Each one of us has a yud inside of us. Yud symbolizes like a lock, something that's locked inside of us. And that gets unlocked in the month of Elul. Explains what Shlomo explained in the Sefer Yetzirah. I'm not a Kabbalist, so I can only repeat to you what the Kabbalists are telling us. But this is the month of Yud. בחודש הזה מבינים שאנחנו כל כך שייכים לקדוש ברוך הוא. In this month, we understand that we are so connected to הקדוש ברוך הוא ששום דבר לא קדוש לא יכול לחצות בינינו להפסיק את הקשר הזה. That nothing we can do can disconnect us from הקדוש ברוך הוא. That's the energy of this month. That we're always connected to Hashem and nothing can truly disconnect me from הקדוש ברוך הוא. And he was interested to do. And if you haven't listened to anything I said, that's fine. Just tap into this because this is a paragraph I wanted to teach you. Chavarim yekarim, my precious friends, my holy brothers. Hatikun b'chodesh elu hu lo kokach b'dvarim she'asinu lo nachon. The fixing of this month is not so much in the things we did wrong. Shari Tshuva, all the other books, they're talking about, oh, make a list of all the 30 things I did wrong. You didn't say good bracha. You didn't say asher yata. You spoke lashon hara. Gevalt. You got your list. Now you're ready for Yom Kippur. Excellent. Says Rav Shlomo, no. Atshuva hamiuchedet lachodesh Elohi. And I think this very much connects to what we're talking about. What's the tshuva of this month? Badvarim she'asinu nachon. We did them right. Ela shelo asinu otam im kol alev. But we didn't do them with all our heart. Halev lo aya meurav maspik. We weren't putting our hearts into the good things we were doing. To do tshuva is to go back to being your normal self, which is your excited self, to doing the mitzvahs with all of your energy. Atem yudim, you know, lefamim anachnu pogshim mishu. Sometimes we meet someone who ohev otcha, he loves you. Hu matok, he's sweet. Hu chamud, he's cute. But he's still far from you. You just want to tell him, why are you so far? Why are you so distant? Take the mask off, so to speak. You know, like, let's be connected. Sometimes you see someone davening. He's davening very beautifully. Why are you so far? Right? Sometimes I'm davening at the Kotel and I like, after I'm done davening, I see someone else like really davening, like really. I'm like, oh, why didn't I see that beforehand? Like, that's what it's about. Like, putting your kishkas in. It's not just going through the motions. Ra'iti orim shemenashkim et hayeladim v'chozot. I've seen kids kissing their kids, and nonetheless, ratiti lamar them, I want to tell them, madu atem kol kach rechokim, why are you so far? Akshav takshivu. Okay, so that was the main thing I wanted to tell you. That if you're, you know, you went to a nice year in the old city, it was very fun, it was a little inspiring. What was it about? It was about tshuva, very nice, okay. What do you take from it? I don't know. That's often how I feel at the end of these sweet Shlomo shivers. If there's nothing else, we've learned that tshuva is to go back to your normal, true self, something that you want to do over and over again. And that the unique tshuva of Chodesh Elul, according to Rav Shlomo's derech, is to focus on the good things you're doing in your life. You're davening, but are you davening with all your heart? You're learning. You're learning with all your heart. You're saying hi to people. You're greeting them with presence, with love. You're doing chesed, but are you doing it? You're being nice to your wife, but are you truly doing your dishes with all your heart? Or are you just going through the motions? To do whatever you're doing, maybe to do less, but to do what you're doing with love, with presence. And that's a great place to start. And hopefully from that place of love and connection, we'll also be inspired to work on the Lashon Hara and the Muksa and all the that stuff too. We can't forget about that. But the starting point, says Rav Shlomo, is to be doing the good things that we're doing with all of our hearts and all of our souls. Be'ezrat Hashem, b'shem kol Yisrael. So like I promised, I want to ask you guys, is there something that maybe was inspiring or something that you want to take with you into your day-to-day life from our holy shir today?